Hello and welcome to the 39th episode of Pence's Game Shack. Today we have returning guest Kerr9000.
Hiya.
How you doing, dude?
I'm doing well. How are you doing, mate?
Yeah, I'm doing well. I'm a bit tired. I need a pee, but I meant to go before we started and I forgot, so I'm just going to have to hold it in like a big boy. But yeah, I'm doing good. I'm glad you're doing well. We are here today to talk about a game called Tavern Talk. It is a
Visual novel, I'd say.
It's like a visual novel with some gaming mechanics in that you make drinks. So if you've been here before when we played Coffee Talk, if you've listened to the... Yeah, because it was called Coffee Talk, where you're a barista and you make coffee and tea and chai lattes and various other things for people. There's about 10 drinks or something for people. And this is a very similar kind of game, except for it's set in a, I would say a fantasy setting, but that was also a fantasy setting with vampires and so on and so forth. This is more of a like D&D kind of setting in fantasy. Old timey stuff.
I'd say Coffee Talk was modern times that just happened to have vampires and orcs and stuff, but it was very present deified, whereas this is like a D&D oldie worldy thing.
Yeah, exactly. I would I think that's the big difference, is just the setting, because you have your fantasy characters in both, because not everyone's a human. Like, one of the things in Coffee Talk was the human who was writing the novel about everyone being human, and how and like someone was saying in that, like, oh, that's a bit, you know, thingy, saying only humans, and saying, no, yes, but there's still going to be differences with different races of human and stuff like that, so it's not just what you think it is kind of thing. So there you go. Whereas this, so what I've played of it, doesn't, goes on a very different route so far. Like, it still has the emotional things, and it has like a trans character. It has, which is Fable. It has like various different ways it tries to tug at your heartstrings with the wolf and the werewolf and so on and so forth. Like, I'm not that far into it. I'm only in Act 2, so like, I'm not really really in there. But from what I've played of it so far, like, it's, you set it, like, in the other game, in Coffee Talk, it's made by a different company, it's just a similar premise, really. Mm. In that game, it's more about giving them the right drink for them to get on with a day, whereas in this, it's giving them the right drink so they can succeed in their quest. I don't know what happens if you fail a quest.
Seem to have failed. It just seems to be different ways you succeed. Like, they succeed by sneaking, or they succeed by going in all, you know, fists and sword. But they always seem to succeed.
Yeah. I'm wondering if you give them the wrong drink completely. Because he usually says you can either give them a drink that will increase their intelligence or their stealth or something, or one that will increase their toughness, but also make it fireproof or something, because you can add extra ingredients in this. Whereas, I wonder if you just give them something that was good for, like, oh, it can either be stealth or defense, but you give them something that's good for the charisma. I wonder if they don't succeed and they just fail.
Yeah, I wish I'd have tried that, to be honest.
I'm going to have to now. Load up another save and go, let's have a look. May as well. Might be worth it.
I do think, you know, if I'd have not read into it and I'd not looked, I could have believed it was made by the same people as Coffee Talk.
Yeah, it's such a similar game. Maybe they were inspired by Coffee Talk.
Yeah,
I don't know which
came
first.
Coffee Talk, I think, came first.
Yeah.
I did a little bit of reading into this company. I know the next thing they want to do is a dragon romance simulator that's set in the same world as this, but they've done all sorts of things in the past. Like kids' education games, things that look a bit SimCity-fied, basketball training manager. It's really a weird portfolio. There's a tactical-based game, things that's supposed to teach pupils German economics and stuff. So, you know.
Big variety of games then.
Yeah.
And software. Yeah, I didn't realise. In this, you seem to be a mysterious bartender, whereas in the other one, you're a mysterious barista. But what I like about Ray is when like one of the characters you're talking to, it's like, ah, because it breaks the fourth wall quite a bit in this compared to Coffee Talk that I remember. And one of the characters comes in, it's like, ah, there's no point saying much to this person. They just repeat the same phrase that they're programmed to say. And then you like answer with a different phrase to what they expect. I'm like, ah, so they programmed me with more phrases. Stuff like that, which is pretty fun. Like, I've not met loads of characters. I've met Fable, which is the first one. The rogue guy who seems to change his name every time he comes in. Last time it was...
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I can't remember what it was. Not Amethyst, but something beginning with A. Whereas before the that, it was Blaze. Type. Before yeah. that, it was something else. The dwarf. The vampire.
Oh, yeah.
The cat girl.
Met Scully yet?
Scully? No, I don't think so.
Oh, it's a skeleton.
Oh, that's awesome.
Who can remember being alive and then basically coming up out of the grave, but... Apparently, most skeletons are supposed to be like feral, but he just carries on talking and wearing a top hat.
I've put in a fair few hours. The thing is my Steam stats, I played for 9 hours. It's yeah. definitely not been played that long because I've like left it on when I've gone to do other stuff. But like I said, I'm only on chapter 2. In the middle of trying to investigate, like some of them are, why the sky fell, the stars from the sky fell. So I'm still
I think that carries on for a while because I think I'm further than you if I've met Scully and that, and I still don't really know why it fell. But no, I think there's some really good characters in here. I like the vampire.
Yes.
I like Scully. The thief guy that keeps changing his name's pretty cool. The Melina, I think. She's nice and funny and, you know, I feel quite warm to her. There's nobody that I'm like, oh, they're flat or they don't deliver anything.
Yeah. And I think one thing is the characters are written well enough where the characters bounce well off each other. Like, the dwarf whose name I forget and the vampire whose name I also forget.
Alphonse them two together, is the vampire.
Alphonse, yeah. Them two together are actually pretty funny because they're very, very different.
Yeah. It's a very odd couple, isn't it?
Yeah.
The dwarf's very like serious and down to business and work and the vampire's forgetful and a bit clumsy and a bit silly kind of thing.
Exactly. And that's the thing, like, the dwarf is literally like, yes, it's just about money and earning stuff and getting all. Whereas the vampire's like, let's just have some fun. Once I get my cape back. And some sunscreen.
Yeah, I like the sunscreen thing.
I've only just got the sunscreen, well, the saliva to do the sunscreen, so... I'm assuming that they all goes well. But obviously, after I did it, the quest, a little bit of spoilers here, she killed the Wyvern.
Yeah.
Kaelin, I think her name is. Something like that. Whereas I'm wondering if you do it in a different... Because I picked... whatever I picked was wrong. Maybe I should have... Not wrong, but the one I picked... It's like, I had to kill it. And I'm thinking, I wonder if I did it differently, then she wouldn't have had to have killed the Wyvern and just got the saliva by sneaking, getting her and sneaking back out.
I mean, that's a good thing about the game, is there's clearly a lot of replay value because you can do a lot of things in a lot of different ways. And it does get the old curiosity flowing of, what would have happened? How would have things differed? Because you think, like, butterfly effect, if that creature's not killed and... How does she then interact with this person and is the guilt not there? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I wonder how in-depth it is. You'd have to play it a lot to find out, I suppose.
There's only one way to find out. Yeah.
But it's one of those games that I'd have loved this, like, back when I was in school and everyone was playing the same sort of games, and you'd go away and have your weekend and then you'd meet up and talk about it after, because of the fact that you'd all have your own little tale that would be similar but different.
Yeah, in a strange way, while the internet's good for a lot of things, it's kind of spoiled that kind of thing. Because 90% of the time now, you'll just have people go on the internet and they'll just get the information before they've done it. Especially, like I stream myself, so I can't really say, like, especially people watch streams. But, like, I either watch streams, I just stream. But when I watch streams, I tend not to watch games I haven't played. I'll, like, go in the channel and just do something else while I'm lurking there. So, like, you know, I can just listen to bits and bobs occasionally because I don't want stuff spoiled for me. Terrible. But, like, you don't really get it. You get the, like, we've got GArcade, for example. You do get a community where you go on there and you have a chat about things, about, like, the differences that have happened in your version of the game to theirs. But a lot of the time you'll have it already. You'll have options which a lot of people will go, oh, do you know what? I'm just going to look at the best route or the best class and the best stats and the best this and the best that. And then you don't really get to have. And then everyone like min-maxes. And it's not an everyone thing. I'm exaggerating a bit, you know? But it comes to the point where I think even though a lot of things are very diverse in the ways you can play them, I think most things you'll see will be very similar because they seem to like look at things to do the game the best they can, if that makes sense.
This has made me think, have you ever played the Walking Dead games, the like point and clicky style ones?
By Telltale.
Yeah, those ones.
I played 1 and 2.
I loved at the end of those how it would tell you the percentage of people who made a decision. It's like 50% of people let Bob die, 50% people saved Bob. I always found that really interesting because it's strange to see whether your morality and your thoughts kind of fall in line with everyone else, or if you've picked a really weird hill to die on. Or I wish more games did that. It's just neat.
I know that, like, there are this, like, other games in the genre will do that kind of thing, but not many bigger games, like, which would be cool. I don't know if they'd implement it in some games, but it'd be cool to find out. Be interesting to see how, like, Skyrim, for example, how many people sided with one, I can't remember, the Imperial and the people from Skyrim. I can't remember the names of the groups. I haven't played Skyrim for years. And when I played it as a stealthy assassin kind of person, which in Oblivion, I didn't. I played it very different. I just hacked everything to death. Which is
Oblivion, oof. I loved that game. I did it 180 hours on my first playthrough. I couldn't come off it.
I played it for a bit, and then I stopped playing it, and I can't remember why. And then I went back to it and just kind of like went through the story quite quickly with doing some side stuff. But it was the same with there must have been a reason. It was the same with Fallout 3. I was playing through it, and I got to a point where it glitched, and I couldn't use my right stick to turn because I was playing around the 360, so I couldn't turn left or right. I could only look up and down. So for a while I tried playing it just like clicking VATS as I'm walking to hopefully lock onto something to turn. No, I can't do this, and I had to like reload a save for some reason. It was like I lost almost all my progress. That's the only save that would work. So I'm not sure if I just fully restarted. And again, I just went through mainly the story doing some side stuff. The problem is with Bethesda games, like, they're good, but the jank seems to get in the way for me and somehow break it. Same with Skyrim. I did this. It must just be Bethesda games. I did the same with Skyrim. I played it for a bit, enjoyed it, stopped, and then went, And then I came back to it a lot later and was like, and then I went through it and played through it. You know,
it's like a challenge of big complex games, isn't it? Because the more the world around you moves and the more things that happen, the more things can go wrong to crash it and bug it up.
Yeah.
Sort of simple linear games, if you can only go left or right, they'll be playtested to the point where every piece of ground's been trodden. Something like Fallout, Skyrim, where you can go any direction, do anything at any time, anything can come at you from any... There's so many calculations going on that you couldn't playtest it for long enough to sort of discover every human possible cock-up before releasing it.
Yeah, exactly. But one of my favourite things of Skyrim was when I saw a video of the Thomas the Tank Engine mod for the dragons.
Oh, yeah.
Better than Skyrim itself, huh? Yeah, it was fun. Yeah, so Tavern Talk, anyway, as we've gone on a bit of a tangent, as usual.
Just a bit.
Yeah. Tavern Talk, like, I need to play more of the game. I don't know if I prefer it to Coffee Talk, because I finished the first Coffee Talk. I didn't finish the second. I think it was taken off Game Pass, so I haven't played it.
Yeah.
I can't say I prefer it over that. One thing I do like is I like the whole D&D-like setting, because I like D&D. It's fun. And also, I prefer making weird drinks to just normal coffee. More interesting.
I'm about 7 hours into this, whereas I finished the two coffee talks. I think because I used to write and the central character of Coffee Talk was a writer, and it just, sometimes a game appeals to you because you see something in yourself in it, or and I don't think that's quite happened with this. But I still do think it's a blooming good game, and I'd really, you know, recommend people to check it out, particularly if they like things in this sort of field.
Yeah, I would agree with that. To me, see, there's not one that I prefer over the other. They're both so similar, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Like, and I don't remember if Coffee Talk had the whole you can pick a few different options when you speak in, or... And I know that in Coffee Talk that you can have different endings depending on the drinks you give the people throughout the story.
Yeah.
So, like, the one who does the writing for me, her book didn't sell very well and so on and so forth. But one of the things that you need to do in that is when she say, no, I want my coffee to stay awake, and you're like, no, you should really go to sleep. I made her the coffee to stay awake so she can carry on writing. Whereas I think the one of those choices going throughout is you make her a tea and she goes to sleep instead.
Yeah.
And then she ends up writing a better book. Well, it does better. I'm not saying she writes it better, but it's that kind of thing.
Yeah, which I thought was them trying to, like, teach you the value of taking time out and not burning out sort of thing.
Yeah. Whereas in this, it seems to be, it seems to be aiming for different threads. Like, it doesn't seem to be going for that kind of thing. It seems to be more about, so far, family and accepting people for who they are, really.
Which, I mean, it's great to have that sort of message in games.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I can't agree with you more, though. What would you say about this game in general, though? Recommend it to people? You would?
Yeah, I'd definitely recommend it to people. I think, I don't know about everyone else, but I like playing different types of games at once because they sort of give you different feelings. Like, you'll have a shooter for the action, and this is a nice game to relax with. If you want to just, like, slowly play something and chill out and not be too engaged and not feel like frantic, you just want to play slowly and, you know, take in a stuff, then it's great. I think it's a real night. Or if you've played a lot of action game and you want a nice palate cleanser, it'd be fantastic for that sort of thing.
Yeah. Lovely game. See, I say this, and I don't mean it insultingly, it'd be a nice game to play just before bed, because you can relax more to it.
Yeah.
It's not like, oh, it's boring, you'll fall asleep. It's a nice chill game. It's going to be less adrenaline pumping than the last shooting game where you blow everyone's faces off and rip them to pieces. I'm thinking of Doom.
Yeah.
I was playing Doom Eternal the other day.
All right.
Speaking of, you've been up to much in the way of gaming recently?
Well, I've been playing Ni No Kuni.
You mentioned
25 hours into it.
Oh, nice. And it's a replay again. Replays, is there?
No, I've played it a few times and dropped off about 5 hours into it on like the PS3 and stuff, but this is the furthest through it I've been. I just think it's worked for me better as a Switch game. I've been playing Fortnite, which is normal for me, and then I've been playing a lot of the boxing.
Pistol of the North Star.
Yeah, a bit of that one and a bit of the fitness boxing as well.
Fortnite I haven't really played much of recently. I haven't played it tidy for a while now, which I kind of gutted about because, like, I think I missed out on bloody Godzilla as a character.
Yeah, you have.
Yeah, I kind of hit the point.
There was a whole bit where you got to be Godzilla as well.
Yeah,
you got to a certain point on the map, you became Godzilla, and that was brilliant.
Yeah, I bet it was. Gutted I didn't play it then, but I was kind of, I just haven't, the last couple of seasons, I just haven't been asked to play it. I get, like, it's with Fortnite. I was like, yeah, before it became season based, I was playing it quite a lot. Then I think I played the first chapter or two. Is it chapter and season or season and chapter?
I can't remember which way around they do it.
I played the first or two seasons or chapters or whatever it was, and then I dropped off then and came back to it in chapter two, season two, something like that, season two, chapter two, whichever way around there is. So I left there a while and then got back with it, but I used to play a lot with my kids mainly, and none of them seemed to play her as much. Even my youngest, who was really into Fortnite, for Christmas he had a MetaQuest 3.
Oh yeah.
And every day, as soon as he comes home from school until he goes to bed, he's on that VR. And I'm like, dude, you need to limit it. I'm going to have to start taking it off him because it's getting on my nerves. Like yesterday, I was like, oh, I'm going to stream. And then he's like, oh, can I play on my VR? I was like, fine, just play on your VR, buddy. And like, I could have still streamed, but I'd have him flinging about in front of me and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Making loads of noise, so I thought I'll just leave it. You have fun on your bloody VR playing Gorilla Tag with your friend. I said to the missus yesterday, like, all those games he's got access to on there, Beat Saber, Power Wash Simulator as of today, because I grabbed him a 3-month trial of MetaQuest Plus, and of all the games he has access to on there, he plays mainly Gorilla Tag, which is some weird game where you're gorillas with no feet, I don't think, and you use your arms to get around. So he's just there flailing his arms around. I'm just sitting there laughing at him because it looks like I've not really watched until, like, we've played VR before, but I've never watched them just for a while playing something like that. And I said to the missus, like, yes, I said, he does look bloody stupid, doesn't he? I didn't think to myself, do I look that stupid when I'm playing VR?
I've played on this King Kong VR arcade machine, and I got missus to record it. And, like, bugs are flying at your face and stuff. And you can see them, and it feels like so you're there swatting, and then I watch the footage, and it is just you swatting at thin air, going mental, going, ah, ah, ah. I think it's not possible to look dignified while doing VR. No. Everybody will look stupid and you just have to run with it.
Exactly.
Probably better in your home, though, instead of on a King Kong arcade machine in public.
Well, if everyone's having a go and making themselves look foolish, it's probably not too bad. But yeah, I do enjoy playing on the VR. How are you finding the Fist of the North Star game then? Because it was obviously reduced to £4, wasn't it?
Yeah, it's pretty good. I mean, the only thing that gets me is when you play the fitness boxing, you do punches and you do blocks as well.
Right.
Fist of the North Star doesn't seem to have a blocking maneuver. When you punch and then enemies are going to punch you back, you punch the exact same way you were punching to block their punches. So you're like punching their fists. And I'm like, seems bizarre. Oh, why don't they like have it as blocks? Because that would feel more natural and make more sense that you're blocking somebody's incoming attacks instead of punching a punch. But oh well. Other than that, it's good because obviously you sort of forget the exercise, don't you, if you're fighting something and you...
Yeah.
It just becomes a game, and the more gamified it is, the more you'll do.
Yeah, it's one thing I like about Beat Saber is you're flailing about chopping up these things in VR, and it's just like, it's tiring, but at the same time you're enjoying it because you're having fun listening to some music, chopping up some things. There's some good games like that. And like I said, the more gamified it is, the more you don't mind doing it. Compared to just traditional exercise. It's like, oh, let's go for a jog, because that's fun. I saw something before with VR. Like, it's probably in arcades and stuff, but someone had a VR in the house, and it was like this big round stand thing they could stand on, so they were able to run around, and the thing under them would move.
Oh, wow.
So they were able to, like, run in the game and stuff like that, and play it, like, as if they're in the game, and I was like, fuck, I want that. That looks cool. So it's like this big square thing with like a round bit in the middle, and it must move at like a, I don't know how it works, but it works. Looked really cool.
Yeah, it sounds awesome.
It does. It does sound awesome. Anything else you've been playing, man?
Well, no, I think that's about it, really.
That's fair enough. To be honest, I haven't really played a lot of games. I've been playing a bit of Picross again, because me and the missus enjoy playing Picross together, even though it makes me feel like stupid sometimes. And at the time, I'm like, I haven't got a clue, and the missus just carries on with the puzzle and finishes it. I'm like, I helped. I did some of the squares. And then one of the game we finished recently was Divinity Original Sin 2.
Oh, yeah.
That was a good game. I'm surprised the missus played it with me, though, because we played the first one. And not that she didn't enjoy it, I'm surprised she played the first one, is what I mean. Because I stuck it on and I thought, oh, it's kind of, you know, an old school RPG style game in the vein of Baldur's Gate and so on and so forth. I'll stick it on. She probably won't like it, though, because I just didn't think she would, because it's like a, you know, an RPG. And then we end up spending over 100 hours in that game.
Oh, wow, cool.
In the first one. And then as soon as we finished the first one, we jumped straight into the second one and spent over 100 hours in there as well. So it's surprising how much we enjoyed it. I especially loved her thieving. She's naughty. She would always get it. I'd be in the middle of a conversation with an important NPC, and then all of a sudden it stops. Because she's decided to try and steal something she wasn't allowed to take. And the person who was talking to me turns around and is like, hey, you, stop that. And then they'll just make me have to either redo the conversation or that's it, the conversation's over because they pissed off or something. I don't bloody know. And the second one, I think it's just as good as the first one, really. I don't think I prefer either because... the second one seems to improve in some things, like story and that, but like the first one, you could go to in the different chapters, you go to different areas, but you always get access to all those areas. In the second one, when you finish the first chapter and go into the second one, you go to a new area, you can't go back. And then when you go to the third area, you can't go back to the other two. And that kind of sucks. Because it'd be good to go back and do some of the quests you were struggling with. Yeah. But there's some changes that it took a while to get adjusted to as well with the in the first game, it was like you do certain spells and it'd have a certain amount of chance of affecting them depending on certain stats. In the second game, it'd be the same. It would affect them depending on their shields. So it had a magic shield and a physical shield, which was different to the first game. You just had, I think you had a shield maybe. I can't really remember any shields in the first game. But some things would be affected once the physical shield is completely removed. Other things would be affected if the magic shield was completely removed. Whereas it'll always affect them if that happens. But if they got a shield, then your skills won't have any effect. It'll just take some shield off or take some magic shield off. And it was kind of weird to get used to, and it took a good while. But there were some points in the game where it was really fucking hard. It's like, right, we'll have to go and try and level up. Oh, we've killed everything we can. We've done all the quests. Let's try this again. And then we'd still be struggling. And then it's like, right, we'll just try again. And then we finally do it. And the final boss was a piss take, man.
I've found a few bits in Ni No Kuni where I've been like skipping through, killing everything, no problem. And then you meet something and you're like, that seems darn near impossible. So you have to do the walk around in a circle, fight the same things again and again until you've gone up two levels and then try again.
Yeah. Yeah, that's one thing I say about Dark Souls. It's like, yeah, they're hard games, but they're RPGs. If you want, you can just go back to older areas and kill stuff over and over again to level up, then try the bosses again. Simple.
Yeah, exactly.
Like with Sekiro, it's different because it is not so RPG based. It's literally, to get better at the game, you need to improve your skills. And I dropped that game because it was hard.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's the way it is, isn't it? You know, sometimes games are just a bit too much of a pain in the arse. I think it comes to how much enjoyment you get. Now, if you're not enjoying it, then there's just no point. You may as well move on.
Yeah, if it becomes a slog and you're just grinding through it, you get to the point where now it's too much trial and error and too, I'm not having fun. I could move on to something else and be loving every minute of it.
Exactly. Another game I've been playing, I don't know if you've ever played it, The Incredible Hulk Ultimate Destruction. On the Xbox.
Years ago. Yeah.
I never played it. I played it recently. It's actually quite fun. That can have bits where I'm like, oh, this is quite tough. But generally speaking, it's just fun, smashing shit. Ped smash. That's quite fun.
I mean, the Hulk is just a character that's brilliant for video games, isn't he?
Yeah,
something that can
smash
through nearly everything, you know.
Yeah. I'm surprised they haven't made more, because I think the last couple of superhero games has been like Avengers, which was a gas game, or gas, whatever they say, gamers as a service, which was all right. It was an okay game, but the games as a service buys were let it down really. And I think you get that with a lot of games, I know. I enjoyed Guardians of the Galaxy when I played that, though. That was fun.
Yeah, I played some of that, and it seemed pretty good. I probably should have stuck with it longer, but there's always something shiny jumping in front of you that, oh, well, look at that instead.
Yeah, that is the problem with games. There's just too many coming out now.
Yeah.
Which, 30 years ago, I wouldn't have been complaining about. To be fair, though, 30 years ago, it probably was not as many, but there was still probably a lot more games coming out than you realise. It's just when you have no fucking money because you're a child and you haven't bought for you when you haven't bought for you. You don't realise so much, you know?
You're forced to play through the couple of games you've got because you're not getting another one for four months till it's your birthday or whatever.
Exactly. And that's the thing. Now, it's like, try and get what you can. And things like Game Pass and PlayStation Plus, stuff like that doesn't help with feeling like your backlog is just ever expanding. Oh, there you go. Anything else you'd like to add about Tavern Talk before we end, man?
No, just that I think it's well worth a try. If you've never played a visual novel, it's not the worst starting point. But if you have played a lot of them and you enjoy them, and particularly like the D&D sort of thing, it's a good game. It's well worth putting on your wish list.
Yeah, I would agree with that. It's a good, fun game. Obviously, it's a bit slower and a bit more relaxed than your typical game, but there's nothing wrong with that. It's a good thing to, as Kerr said earlier, palate cleanser between a lot of your adventure and action games. Or, as I said earlier, something to play before bed so you can relax and then doze off to sleep. But as it stands, I've enjoyed my time with that. I'm going to carry on. I say that. Sometimes I do carry on and sometimes I don't because there's just so many games. And then it's like, try to play games on stream. Try to play games to review. Try to play games for the podcast. Just too many games. But there you go. Anyway, thanks so much for taking part, dude.
You're very welcome. Really enjoyed it.
I'm glad you did. Don't forget to plug your YouTube and stuff.
Oh yeah, I'm Kerr9000 on YouTube and TikTok and pretty much anything else you can get on. I heard something earlier and I really wanted to say it. Do you remember when it was on adverts that you'd go into the newsagent and they'd be like, this magazine available at all good news outlets?
Yes.
I'd just like to say, Penta's podcast, available on all good podcasting places. So if you don't host this, you're, by definition, crap. Well, that's what the adverts were implying, weren't they?
Yeah.
It was to make like places stock it, because good retailers.
Yeah, exactly. I remember. And it was very, most of the time, you'd have to go to a newsagent and request them to order her in because they wouldn't otherwise because they don't get enough people going in.
If anybody wants to order and pay for another 400 podcasts and you happen to be rich and you're listening to this, we'll be on your platform.
I agree with Kerr. thanks, man.
You're welcome.
Okay. Catch you later. Have a good one. And everyone who's listening, see you soon. We'll be back as soon as we can. I know it's supposed to be fortnightly, but sometimes it just doesn't happen that way. Take care, everyone, and bye-bye.
Bye. Penta's podcast, available on all good podcasting places.